And welcome to the Real Prospector Radio Show. I'm Rob Newton, your host, and do we have a great lineup for you today. We'll be talking to Robert Palmer, the CEO, the founder of the Robert Palmer family of companies, and of course, the RP funding company. Also going to be talking to Chuck White. Chuck White is one of the most active people and one of the most successful people in Florida and maybe even around the nation in commercial real estate. We're talking about 100,000-foot leases, that type of lease, 70,000 square feet. Interesting conversation about a type of real estate that a lot of people don't think of. And we'll wrap up our discussions with Sue Paskert. She has the great privilege of operating real estate in southern Florida on the West Coast, Little Gasparilla Island. Yeah, we're talking about just a little slice of heaven on earth. But first of all, we want to talk to Robert Palmer, who is very learned in the media. He is very learned in marketing, but he is also very, very active in keeping track of not tens and twenties, but thousands of leads that he keeps in his database. So, Robert, let's talk about the importance of maintaining and utilizing a very good database.
That database is your business. This is the thing no one can take from you. This is the thing that will dictate how successful you become. Because again, if I'm gonna hold a seminar and I'm gonna get 80 real estate agents to give me their information and put them in my database, I've got to do something with that, right? I've got to understand the value that is. And what I see is too many agents, they'll hold an open house. This is another, you know, great give something to get something. Get out there and give your time to sit in an open house. When you're meeting those people, you got to be putting them in your database, right? So it's all about building that database. Secret number three is you have to stay in touch, right? We all have our database. How many of us actually actively market to it? You know, we talk about it. Maybe we mean to. And I don't just mean, okay, I paid a service. They're going to send them out 12 recipes a year with my picture on it. That is not staying in touch. All right, staying in touch is picking up the phone. Staying in touch is sending a personalized email. You know, those are staying in touch, and that's what you have to understand about your database. So, speaking of databases, you all already have three databases. All right, these are your three secret databases that everybody forgets about. Number one, your smartphone in your pocket. These are people that you like and probably like you back because you have stored them in your phone, right? How many of you have contacts stored in your phone that you have not talked to in the last 90 days? Probably a lot of us. That's a mistake, right? These people like to hear from you. And again, you're not checking in to say, hey, I'm calling to sell your real estate. You know, you're just calling to have a conversation. You're calling to stay in front of them. You're calling to keep in touch with that database. Database number two is your email account. I know we all have addresses that we've emailed through Gmail or Outlook or whatever you use that you haven't been in touch with in the last 90 days. And again, I'm not talking about sending them an HTML newsletter with a recipe on it. I'm talking about a personalized email from you. If you just sit down and say, you know what, every day I'm going to send 50 personalized emails to people in my address book. Let me see who I got. Let me go into the S's. Oh, here's Steve. We went to high school together. Let me check in. I know he had a kid not too long ago. Let me see how his kid's doing. Let me check in. Keep those personal touches going. Keep those personal interactions going. And then number three is your social media, your Facebook. All right, Facebook is a database. And there's a lot of buzz and hype right now about Facebook marketing and everything else. The real key to Facebook is not marketing to strangers. It's marketing to the people that you have a relationship with. It's marketing to people you went to high school with, that you used to work with. You were in some way labeling each other as friends. You regularly like each other's stuff. Right? I mean, think about how this language sounds. The key to Facebook is marketing to your friends and your database. People get on there and say, oh, I'm going to buy Facebook ads and market to strangers. It's no good. It's no good. You want to make sure you're using Facebook to market to your contacts in your database. And so what do I want to see as a database? You know, I don't want to see you throwing up there, just listed this house 10 times in a row, right? I want to see, hey, I'm out taking pictures of a house today. Maybe pop a selfie in there, right? You know, think about what you post naturally for social media. And then also when you're working that database, I think it's a huge mistake to do it through the page, the business page. This is a person-to-person business. I think you've got to use your personal Facebook to build those relationships. That's where the relationship was built. That's where you want to market it. A lot of you are here today because you saw the seminar on Facebook. That was on my personal Facebook. It was not on the business Facebook. This is a person-to-person business. And so with these three databases, you've got to regularly stay in touch. And this is not putting out garbage. This is putting out person-to-person communication. You know, a lot of you may not realize this, but Facebook filters what it shows to other people. They used to call it EdgeRank. It has a new name now. They don't tell us what it is. But the idea is they can only show so many posts to people. And so they decide based on the likes, the comments, the quality, the views. Is it a picture? Is it a link? Is it a video? And when I teach specific classes on Facebook and internet marketing, we talk about this. But the way you craft those messages, the way you tag people, the way you interact depends and makes whether or not your stuff is going to show up to your friends. You know, just because you post it doesn't mean everybody sees it. You've got to post correctly and do it right. And person-to-person communication will always get more. If you're just auto-posting your listings, you're actually hurting yourself, because they're not getting a lot of interactions. If you all go back home today and look at your Facebook posts, the ones where you're auto-posting listings probably didn't get very many likes or comments. The one where you put a picture of your kid taking his first steps probably blew up with comments and likes. And so when you put one of those on there, Facebook says, oh, this guy's putting out some quality content. We like him. Let's push his stuff to the top. And then you bury it with 10 listings in a row and nobody clicks on them. And Facebook says, oh, this looks like a spammer. Send him back to the bottom. All right, so that's all important stuff to know. But you've got to market to these three databases. Next up, internet advertising, all right? Secret number one for internet advertising, do not fall into the instant gratification trap, all right? This is the biggest problem agents have with internet marketing. You give somebody some money, and all of a sudden, all these leads start flowing into your inbox, right? And you think, oh, wow, this is the best thing ever. I've never gotten this many leads before. I've done open houses. I've done direct mail. I've tried everything, and I never got 50 leads in 2 minutes before. This is great. But how many of those people are even serious, right? And everybody kind of figures this out over time. 6 months later, how many of those leads actually converted, all right? The quality of internet leads is not as good as other leads you can generate.
And continuing with our program, I am so excited to be bringing you Chuck White. He's the Vice President of Office Brokerage Services in Jacksonville, Florida. You talk about a market that's on the move, on the grow. The bio on this guy, the resume on Chuck White, ladies and gentlemen, is unbelievable. Definitely a trademark, a hallmark in the real estate industry, but in a very specialized arm of real estate. We talk to a lot of people that are into residential real estate, right? We talk to some people who may be into light commercial. Chuck White kind of sets the bar when we're talking about commercial real estate on a grand scale. I mean, some of the great, great acquisitions, some of the leases that have been done, ING lease 103,000 square feet, $12 million. Exo Rail, 70,000 square feet, a $10 million deal. Inland Properties lease, a 62,500 square foot deal for $10 million. Wow, you have dealt with some pretty heavy hitters out there, Chuck.
Well, I appreciate the proverbial pat on the back. And yeah, it's been a long career, and commercial real estate's been very good to me, I must add. So I'm very appreciative of it.
23 years. How did you get onto the path of commercial real estate, and especially these large, large acquisitions?
It starts back in 1991. So it's actually whatever that math is, or 1981, Rob. So the math might even be a little more than that, having updated the resume I sent you. But I wanted to chase commissions. And I was a young buck living out in Las Vegas, Nevada. And I wanted to have the last bastion of what I call free enterprise. And that's entrepreneurship of gambling every day and setting your own hours, et cetera, by chasing commissions. I looked around and I did the obligatory applications to the stock brokers, and then I got to thinking, and I had a friend in commercial real estate. Coldwell Banker Commercial at the time was owned by Sears, and it was in the Sears network. There's a residential branch of it now, but the commercial branch is now called CBRE. And so I started out in 1981 just wanting to chase commissions innocently, morphed into the whole career over the years. And the longer you're in it, Rob, the more you want to do the larger deals. The smaller deals take just as much time and just as much effort. I spend just as much time and effort on a 5,000-foot lease as I did on ING, which is now called Voya, V-O-Y-A, mm-hmm. As I do on a 118,000-foot lease. A lot of people don't understand that, but that's the truth.
Unbelievable. Office Broker of the Year, Office Deal of the Year, Redevelopment Award of the Year, Chapter Merit Award for your work in the 2010 No on 4 campaign. Very, very involved, very active. And when we talk about commercial real estate, I think what a lot of our listeners may not know is that when you're dealing in commercial real estate, it's unlike a residential transaction where the resident, the buyer, has very little experience in real estate. Usually, when a company comes in and they're negotiating for space, they've got well-trained real estate people that are part of the company. So you have to be very good at what you do.
Oh, you betcha. There are some really intelligent guys. When the suits call in, you know, the people wearing their business suits come into town. The facilities directors for a large company. The representative for a large real estate investment trust, as we popularly call them, the REITs, come in to buy a property. Yeah, you've got to be up to snuff, Rob. You've got to know what you're talking about, and you've got to know your market. They can run the financial numbers and the spreads to see that if you're buying a $20 million office building, I've been involved in numerous sales of those, what is the rate of return? What are we going to get? Are we going to get 12%? Are we going to get 14%? Are we going to get take this one and it's only going to get 10%? They can run the numbers on their own models, but you better be exact on the leasing up of it, the marketing of the property, the property management fees, what it costs to operate the building, because you'll get your open up a whole can of worms, get yourself in trouble if you're not up on the local market knowledge.
Well, and there's so much build out to think about. So can you explain to our listeners what build out is, and what are some of the challenges you've had with some of your very large accounts?
Absolutely. And when you represent a tenant to the various landlords and the landlords are paying your commission, I always tell the tenant, I can negotiate the deal for you and we'll sign the lease, but the deal isn't over then. You have to do the improvements, the tenant build out on the interior of your space. So it's just like building out a 3,000-foot home. Where do you put the walls up? Where do you put the doors? Where do you put locate the bathroom next to the bedroom? Where do you put the electrical outlets, the light switches, the overhead lighting in the ceiling? Where does all those things go in? The level of detail in a build-out is immense. So the landlord will turn around to a ING and say, here is $20 a foot. In your case of $118,000, you know, that's a lot of money to go build out the interior of your space. And a tenant broker needs to understand, without being an expert in it, where that money's going, how it's spent. When a tenant says to me, Chuck, okay, I'm in a raw space, Rob, and that means nothing in it, no ceiling, no lighting, no air conditioning, ductwork, no anything. What am I going to pay, for example, to put in the mechanical ductwork, the lights in the ceiling? How much is that going to cost? And I will say, that's $6 a foot. So you have $14 a foot to put up walls, carpet, electrical outlets, computer runs, and everything else below ceiling. And a tenant broker has to know all of those elements in order to talk the talk with the big boys, so to speak, when they come into Jacksonville and they want to do a deal. The more that you know, the better off you'll be, and the less that you have to bring outside experts into your deal or outside purveyors into your deal. Anything cuts into your commission, and Rob, we're all commission driven. As I said earlier, we're all gamblers. We don't get paid. We don't do a deal. We don't get paid. So the more you know it, knowledge means money in this case. And so I can walk that walk over almost 30 years of doing these business deals now, and I can tell you what ductwork costs, what a ceiling in the grid costs, what the lights cost, what the carpet costs. Carpet will cost you $2 a square foot to install, another dollar if you have to rip anything out. So it's $3 a square foot if you're going into an existing suite. I don't mean to throw a lot of concepts at you, but what I am trying to impress to the listeners is there is a level of expertise that you have to be at if you're going to go out and service businesses in the market. There's no emotion in our business, not like residential real estate of signing an offer at 10 p.m. on a Saturday night on a car hood. We're 8-to-5ers doing business deals the whole time through. And in order to do the business deal, you've got to be that much smarter.
That is amazing. Now, you started out in the early 80s, and I think if even people who don't pay a lot of attention to real estate will look back, I can think of at least three or four times when commercial real estate, industrial real estate was built up very, very big, and then the economy fell out from under it. You had to have seen that, and you had to gain a lot of your expertise during those years.
Absolutely. In fact, I started in Carter to Reagan recessions back in the early 80s when Ronald Reagan first became president. And to me, I was too young and dumb, Rob. It was just run through a wall and get to the other side and ask a guy, what do I do now, now that I'm over here? So I went through my first 2 years of the career before the Reagan recovery started. And when the recovery started, I couldn't figure it out. I thought business was what it was in the first 2 years. Few and far between. You pounded on doors. You did the best you could. You grinded out a few bucks. All of a sudden, in year three of my career, when the market became hot, it was like Katie bar the door. All of a sudden, Chuck's making some serious money, and where did this come from? But you learn best during the down times, because if you can learn how to get through a downtime, you can get through a good time. And I mean that literally, because when I moved from Las Vegas, Nevada to Jacksonville, Florida, I moved during the 1989, 90, 91 banking recession. The debacle. It was a great time to relocate markets, though, Rob, because the whole market was down.
Yeah.
The market started making money in 93. I had gotten here and started in Jacksonville in early 92, and I missed it. I wasn't quite ready. I caught up in 94, because it takes you a couple of years to load up and start making some money. So I just missed it by a little bit, but I learned Jacksonville during that downtime. Now, this last recession, the current one that we're still in, is by far the worst. Absolutely by far the worst. We still are not out of it. We may technically be out of a recession by the statistics, but it has not trickled down to business operations. And what I mean by that is the employees are not getting raises. Companies are not necessarily expanding.
Yeah.
Construction is not booming. You don't see office buildings being built or warehouse complexes being built. You do see some shopping centers and apartments being built, and of course the apartments being built are a result of the housing debacle because everybody's renting now. So it's a skewed market out there, so to speak, but this recession still lingers on, and the good broker still will do some deals. His income will be reduced. His or her income will be reduced, but it will never be null and void because we know where the deals are and we've been in the business long enough.
How do you utilize marketing, social marketing, all that sort of thing in networking out there and letting people know that Chuck White is the guy in Jax?
You know, Rob, that's an excellent question because I've been in the business so long, the social media aspect is overwhelming some of us older veterans in the business. I have a young associate at the office at Prime Realty where I work in Jacksonville who sold a building through Facebook this year. And that's totally contrary to how commercial real estate has operated in the past. Now, the bulk of commercial real estate still going through the same grinded-out operation. And what I mean by that is you get a hold of a building, you mail it out, you put a financial package together, you mail it out to buyers that you know, you follow up directly with the phone call work, you email, you go back and forth with text messages, et cetera. But the leasing of office buildings and the sale of smaller deals is definitely taking place through Facebook for one, a couple of the other mediums that are out there, not necessarily Instagram. Oh, Craigslist is, you see people listing property on Craigslist now. All completely foreign to me. I had a client the other day who found an office. He called me up and he said, Chuck, I want to look at this building. I just got it off Craigslist. And we were having trouble in a small submarket in Jacksonville finding space. Mm. So this generation of the next generation after me, Rob, they're going to change the ways that commercial property is marketed. The older folks that go kicking and screaming will just take a downturn in revenue. I'm not kicking and screaming. I'm sucking up every bit of information I can get from the 35-year-old guy who's doing this right now.
I never would have thought of Craigslist as being that sort of a modem, if you will. But are there any sites that just really pertain just to the people that are in commercial real estate? Are there any networks?
There is, and we do internet marketing all the time through two companies in particular. They're and one company owns them both. One is called LoopNet, LOOPNET, and anybody can get on to LoopNet for a free look and take a look at available listings. And there's a lot of lease listings and a lot of sale listings. A lot of grade A property isn't put on LoopNet for sale, for instance. You won't find, you know, a $25 million office building on for sale there, but you will find a 350,000-foot small single-tenant building there, single-occupancy building. The other is called CoStar, and CoStar generates a whole lot of statistics to go with their available properties and in much greater detail as to the particular building that's listed, for instance, on LoopNet. Mm-hmm. LoopNet will say, here's a building, it has 10,000 feet vacant, here's the price. You go to CoStar will have that same 10,000-foot that same building with the 10,000-foot vacancy, and they'll have rental rates, where the vacancies are, which floors, they'll have operating expenses, they'll have much more information. So the good brokerage house like Prime Realty is, it needs to have both databases out there. The client can't see CoStar. You can give them CoStar information. That's an expensive subscription.
Oh.
But the client can get on for LoopNet and look at the same things that you're looking at.
If people want to start following you, what's your personal information? How do people contact you?
They contact me at cwhite@primerealtyinc.com. That's one way. They go to the Prime Realty website. It's primerealtyinc.com is the web, www.primerealtyinc.com. And then you can find out all the information. The websites are the way commercial real estate operates. We refer everyone to the website for the company, because then you'll get to all the different brokers and their specialties. From there, you'll get to that same email address I just gave you. I live on my cell phone, which is 904-333-6618. And the cell phone rings at all hours of the day, 7:30 at morning till 7:30 at night. And we live off our smartphones and our website. The website will direct you to and get us all through, and it's the simplest way of getting running us down.
Just amazing. I think that's a facet of life that most people have never thought of, never heard of. They just pass those big buildings and see, you know, 10,000 square feet for lease, contact this person. But it is a very, very competitive field, and you got to be very, very learned in every cost, from electricity right on through the carpet, drywall, everything like that. Chuck, thanks so much for joining us today. And I think we've taught our listeners and our readers a lot through this conversation.
Well, I enjoyed it, and I appreciate your input into it too, Rob, because you're right. There's a lot of tricks and nuances out there to doing a lease transaction with a sophisticated landlord and a sophisticated tenant. And I love doing it. I'm a deal junkie. Thanks, Rob.
I love it. Chuck White, everybody.
Thank you.
Well, as we move on with the show, we have the very great pleasure of talking to Sue Paskert, and she lives in a little place of heaven right here on Earth. It's unbelievable. She lives in the area of Tampa and Little Gasparilla Island. You just, how did you end up in a great place like that?
It's amazing. It's an amazing story, Robert. I have been in Florida since 1945. I grew up with a father who loved to fish and who traveled all over Florida, and we spent much time on Boca Grande. Many people have heard of it. Back in the days when there was nothing there, and we did a lot of fishing. And so as I graduated from college, was married, had children, we continued our adventures into Southwest Florida. Went to Inglewood, Florida, went to Boca Grande. And then as time went on and the children are grown and I'm in real estate by this time, started looking for a piece of heaven and discovered Little Gasparilla Island, which was what Boca Grande used to be when I was growing up. So the moment we walked out here, fell in love, and we purchased a condo at that time back in 1988. And we've owned on the island ever since. We have a home that we've been in 16 years now. So we've been on the island essentially 28 years, but we also live in Tampa. Our primary resident is Tampa, but we're back and forth. It's only an hour and a half apart.
What is so special about the West Coast, the Southwest Coast actually, of Florida compared to the East Coast?
Let's see. The pace is much slower,
right?
Much more laid back. Our beaches are absolutely beautiful. White sandy beaches, beautiful golf waters. The fishing, you can fish right off your docks in the bays here, or go into the Gulf. It's just beautiful. You know, this is old Florida here. No condominiums, no big high rises. It's just a much more laid-back, unintrusive environment.
Tell us about making the transition from being a teacher into the world of real estate.
Well, that's an interesting one. I taught school for 20 years and then decided to leave because I was on a high and I loved it. And my husband's the one that talked me into trying real estate. All the children were off to college, and so I signed up with, people probably don't remember that Merrill Lynch was in the real estate business way back in the 80s, mm-hmm. and because I was looking for an education-based company where I could learn this. It was a huge transition. Imagine being a teacher going into a business world with not much of a business foundation. But I really didn't know what I was getting into. I had no clue. I figured, well, maybe I'll make $20,000. That'll be nice, you know, whatever. But like I said, education-based, went to classes for 3 solid weeks, just absorbing everything, trying to decide what aspect I wanted. And from the beginning, I decided I wanted to be a listing agent because I love marketing. I love the challenge of it. And, of course, I didn't trust all the things I was learning, but I tested them, and I found that you test a lot of these things consistently. Guess what? They do work. But it's the same as teaching. Being a wife, mother, teacher, realtor, it's all service-oriented. And so I approach my real estate business educationally. My mm-hmm. job is to educate buyers and sellers as to the market, how to proceed, etc. So it's really not a lot like much different from teaching, because I'm still teaching. Mm-hmm. And the greatest benefit is being in this business, I get to meet people from all over the country, and it's really, really interesting and fun. Keeps me going.
We have a similar mission that you talk about in your Estate of Eyes article, and that is we are sort of on a mission here in the various companies that are in the Robert Palmer family of companies of trying to get people more educated as to buying homes, and so they feel more at ease. I think we've got a generation of people out there that were somewhat scarred by the 2008 debacle and the meltdown, and they just choose to rent instead of finding all of the benefits of being homeowners. And I read with great interest your article where you talked about how Florida is such a great emerging market for real estate. Can you kind of walk us through that?
Well, it is. I mean, there's 1,000 people, a day moving to Florida, whatever. You know, the best investment in my experience as just a homeowner is the purchase of a house. It's also the biggest investment most of us are going to make. And this is why I go to the education part of it. It's our role as a realtor to educate buyers and sellers as to what the market is in their wherever they want to buy. Now, because we want to be experts in what we do, we specialize. And when I say we, it's my husband, myself, our daughter, and we recently have a new young lady that joined us who grew up with our daughter and worked with me years ago when I was with another corporate company. But we also specialize in small territories, and therefore we can educate the people to our areas. Little Gasparilla Island is extremely unique and mm-hmm. very difficult. Our other area is South Tampa, which is also a very unique market. And the reason is there's no subdivisions. Nothing's alike. So, but people need, I think if they do their homework, today's market is still appreciated. We have turned into a seller's market where I work. But there are still good values out there. Mm-hmm. And as long as a buyer is educated to what's happening, there is a history now, and also a seller, if they're educated, they'll be fine in purchasing. But, you know, when you're renting, you're not really getting a lot of benefits other than a place to live.
We've got about 3 minutes to spend together. I want to talk a little bit about your use of social media. I noticed on your steps in buying a home, the first step, and I totally agree with that, is contact a lender to find out how much home you can afford. But the second one is you can then start an online search to determine your preferred neighborhood, amenities, number of bedrooms, and all that. Very interesting.
Yes. And people are using technology now, which I'm like David you spoke to earlier. I'm from the old generation. I've had to catch up with technology. But young people or old people, everybody jumps on the internet now searching for homes where they want to be. Typically, we are finding that they contact the agent after they have zeroed in locations as well as some of the homes. Once they've contacted us, typically we will set them up with the criteria they provide us and can set them on a link that will provide them new homes as they come on the market quickly. We also monitor that, and sometimes things come up and we send it to them. But technology is huge, which is what allows me to do real estate in South Tampa and on Little Gasparilla Island.
Mm-hmm. Sure saves miles, doesn't it?
It's amazing. It's amazing. I could never do it if we didn't have the technology.
Now, do you think it's a great advantage for a teacher to get into real estate, primarily because the people who are buying real estate are maybe only do it twice in their life? They need an educator.
I think from statistics say that teachers and nurses make the best realtors. And that's because they're service-oriented.
I'll be darned. If you had any advice for anyone wanting to get into real estate, what would it be?
Proceed with caution. Make sure you have revenues that you can support, that can support you for the first 6 months to a year. It takes time to get started. Be prepared to work very hard. A lot of people jump into real estate thinking they're going to make big bucks overnight. This is very hard work. It's long hours, and you have to dedicate yourself to it. Yeah. And you really have to love it.
Can you give us your contact information? We only have about 30 seconds.
Okay. Sue Paskert, area code 813-927-9329. Email is sue@suepaskert.com, or you can find me at www.suepaskert.com or pbgsouthtampa.com. Those are our two websites. And Paskert is Paskert, P as in Paul.
Sue, thank you so much. We hope to be able to bring you back to the microphone sometimes very soon. Very enlightening, and best of luck down there in that little bit of heaven that we call Southwest Florida.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your time and energy and the experience of speaking with you. Have a good one.
Thank you so much. Well, once again, this is Rob Newton for Real Prospector Radio. Thanking you so much for listening in. And next Wednesday, we'll have another great show designed just for you.